Hallelujah. Well, good morning. You can grab a seat. Who is aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning in worship? Wasn't that extraordinary? Well done, you guys. Well done. It was beautiful. Thanks so much. You can grab a seat if you like. I love being in a house that honors the presence of God. So thank you very much for being here this morning. We did see the Holy Spirit move with wonderful power last night, and I found a great joy to be here, and such an ease that there's a peace and there's an open heaven over this city, and I'm so thankful to be here. If the Lord did something supernatural in your life last night, and you've actually experienced a healing, give me a quick wave. Let me see. Oh, praise the Lord. That's so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Well, you know, I'd love to hear just some 60-second just testimonies, because it's really encouraging for people when we hear what the Lord's done. So if you guys wouldn't mind, if you could just come quickly, tell us what was wrong and what the situation is now. That'd be fantastic. I'd love to give you more time, but if we can just do it really briefly, that'd be amazing.
Thank you so much. So I've been having trouble with a bulging disc in my back for the past 12 months, which travels in the sciatica and also in the tailbone. Last night, I've been having steroid injections and it hasn't been working. And I've been praying for healing, but last night God revealed to me saying, but you haven't given me your all. You've been asking for healing, but you haven't given your 100% that I can do. So every morning when I get up and out of bed, it's like, okay, stretch, you know, and then wobble down the stairs. I got up and ready to stretch, and I was like, where's my pain? And I know that, you know, God, it was like, what's happening? But I then, you know, my husband said, what's going on? And I said to him, I just felt, and I felt last night as we were praying, I pinched everyone's prayers, actually. So everyone that got prayer, I actually pinched them. And I could feel the hotness going down my spine. And I could just thought, and I just gave praise to the Lord.
Yay! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heidi. Thank you, Jesus. What happened to you? Hello. Emily prayed for you, didn't she? What happened to you?
Well, when I came to church last night, I had terrible pains in my knees and in my shoulders. I've been told that I've got osteoarthritis right through my body. And I've been praying for a long time for this pain to go. And it wasn't until I actually went home last night and went to bed. Normally I fidget around before I can sort of settle down.
Me too.
But I didn't have any pain. And and it's so good to be free of it, because you know, praise the Lord for it.
Oh, it's so wonderful. Oh, that's so wonderful. Father, we say thank you. That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
You must hang on to this word, yeah. Because if you don't, sometimes the pain can come back.
Yeah, we're not going to have it. He loves you. He's a good God, and he's not an Indian giver. Amen. Hallelujah. That's so beautiful. Tell us what happened to you.
So you... Yes, I've been having a lot of problems with my knees and lower back. And just to cut a long story short, I woke up this morning, no pain whatsoever. I've been having a lot of symptoms from this long COVID thing. But I woke up this morning feeling totally fresh and renewed, praise the Lord. And it was like I did a dance getting out of bed.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Oh, that's
praise
so
God.
Wonderful. Thank you. Father, thank you. We give you all the thanks. Thank you for sharing. That's so cool. Hallelujah. Hello. What's your name?
Nita.
What happened to you, Nita?
Last night I really came because I wanted prayer for my knees. You know, that's what I was believing for. But when you said, has anyone got a pain here? I've had that pain in my face, a severe TMJ. For anyone who doesn't know, that's a very strong jaw pain muscle. And it's been there for 24 years because, didn't have contact with my children from my first marriage. And I had a granddaughter born to me 24 years ago, and I was so devastated that I never could see her, that I did such damage to my face, and that has caused me excruciating pain all this time. And today I don't have that pain.
Oh, Father, thank you, Lord. That's so amazing. That is so beautiful, Father. We give you all the praise and all the thanks. You are so good, God. So it's just gone. All the pain's gone.
The pain's gone from here.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
So, and of course, did pray for my knees, and Jim over here prayed for my knees. My left knee is feeling really good today, and my right leg is burning. It's burning, 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 but I'm believing for that.
Amen.
And I was able to walk from the car to the door and down the ramp today without my stick.
Wow.
It's great.
Wow. Oh. I could see God was doing something very special. I'm so excited for you. Thank you for sharing.
Pam.
What happened to you?
I've been under a cardiologist for the last 12 months because of I've extremely high cholesterol, and I can't take the statins. They make me crazy. And, I've been getting flutterings and all sorts of weird and wonderful chest problems with heart. I can feel its palpitations. And I've been able to control them by just stopping and breathing and bringing it into line. But last night, I haven't had any palpitations or flutterings or anything. And I just felt, I'm breathing. I can breathe really, really deep. I can breathe anyway, deeply. But, and it was so clear. And I haven't had any flutterings.
Oh, thank you, Father. You are so faithful. Amen. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. And we love it as the Holy Spirit touches and moves. He's the one that does this, and he is so good. And I do encourage you too, those that have had other issues that we prayed for. We really like it when you go and you get your doctor's tests and reports, and it's so encouraging when we see the work of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'd love to just show one little video. I think they have it ready. Oh, well done. You've got a great team here. And just to encourage you, my dad's a doctor. Em's a registered nurse. And we really appreciate the medical community. And God gives us wisdom to know what to do with medical things. But there's some things that medicine can't fix. But I tell you, God can, and God does, and he is absolutely glorious. So can we have a little look at this one, please?
Brooke had half of her uterus missing and was told that she would likely never have children. But God did the impossible.
I had to have emergency surgery, and the surgeon showed me pictures of my insides and showed that I only had one fallopian tube and a half a womb. I saw it with my own eyes. He told me that I might not be able to have children, or I could lose the baby and I could risk my life getting pregnant. Then I went to a miracle meeting in Brisbane. I got prayed for, and I saw Jesus. He touched my belly and he said, "Consider it done." Then I went back to the surgeon, had an MRI. He said, "I can't explain what happened because when I opened you up, I took pictures and your fallopian tube wasn't there. Now everything is normal and you've got your whole womb, your whole fallopian tube." And he pulled up all the pictures again and showed me again where it wasn't there, but now it is there. And that's because Jesus restored it when I went to that miracle meeting.
If God can creatively restore half a uterus and a fallopian tube, there is nothing he can't do for you. Put your faith in God today.
That's cool. Yay, God. I haven't seen that yet. They've just done that. And we've been sharing testimonies like this. Let's just give God thanks, hey? That's amazing. That's a miracle. Father, you're so good. You're so good. And we've been sharing this on Facebook and Instagram, and we even, don't get mad at me, but we even put some of these on TikTok. Not that we are celebrating any of these platforms, but I tell you, you know, when they go viral like they have been, and hundreds of thousands of people are seeing them that have not even heard about the fact that there is a God that can heal, I tell you, his name gets glorified and people start to seek him. And I just want everyone everywhere to know about the goodness of God. So praise the Lord. Father, we love that you are a healer and you are so, so good. We have a whole bunch of books up the back. I've written 6 books now, and so I've got just 2 I'm going to give away this morning. This one is called Life with the Holy Spirit, Enjoying Intimacy with the Spirit of God. And I shared a little bit last night about my journey of learning what it looks like to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And that's an interactive, dynamic relationship. You know, everything Jesus did on the earth, he did as a man, utterly dependent on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit never let him down. It's the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of the Son, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, who wants to walk you with you and talk with you. And so this is just some practical tools on how to develop a dependent relationship on the Holy Spirit. So who would like that one this morning? God bless you, sweetheart. There you go. Hallelujah.
Going to go around to everybody in the book club.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So good. This is my latest book, Double for Your Trouble. And I'm going to share a little bit about this morning. So I won't take any time, but I believe that Isaiah 61:7 tells us, for our former shame, pain, and disgrace, he wants to give you double recompense. And so this is the book all about what it looks like to receive double for our trouble, learning how to sow our pain in faith intentionally to see God make miracles out of messes. You know, the Bible says he makes all things, say all things, all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So is there someone that would like that this morning? There you go, sweetheart. I was praying for you last night as I went to sleep. I'm excited for you. God bless you. Hallelujah. be careful what you ask for. Praise the Lord. Wow. Father, we love you. Oh, we love you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah, Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your presence here. Thank you for this precious church. Thank you, Lord, for these willing hearts, these humble hearts, open, seeking your face. Lord, we speak your blessing on your church. Lord, we speak your blessing here. And Lord, we ask that you'd stretch forth your hand to heal today, and do signs and wonders and miracles in the name of your holy servant Jesus. Lord, we do give you all the glory, for you are majesty, you are Lord, you are the King of kings, and we honor and bless you. Father, we thank you for what you are about to do in this state, in our nation. And God, we come in reverential awe and fear, saying you are worthy. You are so good, and we are so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you would like to turn with me, we're going to read, praise the Lord. We're going to start in Job 42. Hallelujah. You go, oh, this isn't starting well. We're starting in Job. No. Job 42, verse 10. Says this, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. Hallelujah. We're going to do a few scriptures this morning. You can then skip over, if you can find it, to the book of Zechariah. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, you're doing well. Praise the Lord. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12. Hallelujah. Who's got it? Say you've got it when you've got it. Oh, hallelujah, I'm going to find it. There it is, Zechariah 9. And we're going to start, actually we'll start at verse 11. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, we took that blood of the new covenant this morning, hallelujah, I have set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, O prisoners who have the hope. I love it. Prisoners of hope. Prisoners of hope are people who are like, just can't give up. Even though my feelings and even though my circumstances say it's all hopeless, something on the inside, I'm like a prisoner of hope. I just can't let go. Hallelujah. Do we have any prisoners of hope here? Hallelujah. Return to the stronghold. Who is the stronghold? Jesus. Hallelujah. Return to the stronghold, O prisoners who have the hope. This very day I am declaring that I will restore double to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And one more. Isaiah 61. I feel happy. I can feel the presence of God and I get happy reading his word. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61:7. Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. And instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. If you read it in the Amplified, it says, for your former shame, pain, and disgrace, I will give you double recompense. For I, the Lord, love justice. And God's idea of justice is not giving you what you deserve. God's idea of justice is giving you what he's always longed to give you. And that's why Jesus came, so that he could be justice for us, so that he who knew no sin would become sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ, that we could become co-heirs of the promise. God's idea of justice is that he could give us what he as the good father longs to do for us. His heart desire, like any good parent, their desire is, I want to be good to you. I want to bless you. You want to do your very best for kids, right? Yes, we do. I get pleasure. I get excited thinking, oh, I'm so excited about what I'm going to be able to give them. God's desire, God's heart of justice is to give you double for your trouble. And this promise was actually given to the Israelites who'd brought the shame, pain, and disgrace on themselves through their own sin. And yet God says, no, I'm not here to give you a double payback for all the bad things you've done. He says, my heart is to bless you in the areas where there's been a mess. You know, I have the privilege of traveling. I get to travel with my husband to many different places around the world, sharing the good news of the gospel, seeing people come to Jesus and get healed and saved and delivered. But often when we'd travel, we'd gather foreign currency. And when you come back to Australia, you can't spend Brazilian money or you can't spend Swiss money. You have to take it to the exchange place. What are they called here? I don't know what they're called. The exchange place. Yeah. And you go and you give them your foreign money and they give you what? Australian money. Yeah, not much with the exchange rate at the moment, but they give you Australian dollars. Because when you live in Australia, you have to spend Australian dollars. And when you're in a kingdom, you can only spend the currency of that kingdom. The Bible says we've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. We are as believers in the kingdom of God. Now, in the kingdom of God, the Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We'll just try again because it's only Sunday morning. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the kingdom of God you know, there isn't sickness, pain, shame, disgrace, sin. And so the Bible tells us that we can bring our mess, our sin, our shame to the divine exchange table. If you read earlier in Isaiah 61, he tells us all about beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. God's desire is for us to intentionally bring to him our mess, our ashes, our sin, our pain, our shame, our disgrace, our disappointments to his divine exchange table. And the exchange rate of heaven is a whole heap better than the exchange rate in Australia right now. You bring him sin and you say, God, oh God, I'm so sorry. Have mercy on me. Here's my sin. I'm so ashamed. I'm so sorry. Here it is. Forgive me. And what does he give us in exchange? Salvation, eternal life, the righteousness of God himself. He gives us innocence and says, I'll never remember your sin anymore. Like extraordinary exchange rate. He says, bring me your shame. And we go, oh God, I'm so ashamed. Well, we bring him our shame intentionally in faith to the exchange table. And by faith, he wants you to receive in exchange double honor, double blessing. It's in the book. It's true. It's good news. He says, bring me your mourning and I'll give you joy. Give me your ashes and I will give you beauty. So we have to be intentional. You know, the kingdom of God, all of the promises of God are yes and amen. But I like the way Smith Wigglesworth used to put it. He says, the promises of God don't fall on you like ripe cherries. They don't have cherries really growing in Australia, but I think they might down here maybe. Yeah, beautiful. But they don't fall on you like ripe cherries. You actually need to go and by faith lay a hold of them. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God suffers violence and the violence take it. We've got to take it by faith. And that's what we do when we get saved. We don't just sit there and go, oh, I hope maybe God will pick me. No, he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. If you believe on the Lord, there is something we need to do. And it's not by works that we're saved. Thank you, God. By grace we are saved, not of works. But through faith in the Lord Jesus, we're saved. But in the same way, we have to bring our foreign currency to the Lord and in faith receive what he wants to give in exchange. And so I believe the Lord is wanting to speak to us about this. Anything that doesn't look like the kingdom of heaven, shame, pain, disgrace, sadness, disappointment, mess. You know, in the Bible, it says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Yeah. Hallelujah. And God's heart is that we would be intentional not to stay in the many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh, well, woe is me. But actually, I'm suffering for Jesus. No, to actually come in faith and say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to try and figure out the why here. Why, God, why, when, God, when, how, God, how. We've got lots of ministries that try and spend their whole time figuring out the whys and trying to explain what we don't understand. I prefer Psalm 131 that says, Lord, my heart's not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither will I trouble myself with weighty matters or things too great for me. Surely like a weaned child, I've calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Hope in God, everybody. It's the key. It's the key. Instead of trying to turn yourself inside out, what have I done? Why? What door have I opened? Why is this happening? Maybe it's just because you're righteous. Doesn't matter whether you brought it on yourself or whether it's just that the enemy hates you because you're made in the image of God. Or maybe I'm doing too much for God. That's why I'm getting attacked. No, you'd get attacked whether you're doing stuff for God or not. Because the enemy hates you. Because God loves you. You're the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. It's good news. And those who will look to him, he is our ever-present help in time of need. Hallelujah. And so we bring him in faith. We bring him our ashes. We bring him our foreign currency and we exchange it for the exchange rate of heaven. Hallelujah. You know, so I've begun to do this really intentionally. And I remember years ago when I first started stepping out in ministry, someone made a nasty video about me. Can you believe that? Why would anybody do that? Well, anyway, praise the Lord. I was looking at this. I think this guy doesn't even know me. He's never even met me. He's never been in one of my meetings. And I was like, oh, if he only knew my heart. I've since learned your friends don't need an explanation and your enemies will never accept one. So I'm watching this thing and going, Tom, this is terrible. And Tom says, stop it. Stop watching that. So I never got to watch the end of it. Praise the Lord. God bless husbands who are protective and wise. In fact, he began to learn that I wasn't very good at switching some of this stuff off, so he disabled my ability to look at the comments on YouTube for a while in case when I was traveling by myself I'd have a moment and get discouraged. I love you, darling. But as I'm complaining about this video, he says, that's not okay, turn it off. And he says, let's sow this in faith. This looks like disgrace, dishonor on the internet. Well, there's some guy saying, she seems like a lovely lady, but she's a woman. And I was like, I can't fix that. So anyway, we took it and we went, all right, this feels like dishonor. I think this qualifies as dishonor or shame. So we're going to sow it in faith. Lord, we bring this dishonor, this shame, and we sow it at the divine exchange table in faith for double favor on the internet, double favor in media. Hallelujah. And then we began to think about what would double look like? What's the blessing of the Lord in media and internet look like? This is years and years ago we did this. Praise the Lord today. Google me now. Hallelujah. We have now a television program that goes into 200 countries all over the world on Daystar, Shine TV and networks all over the world. And the favor of God, we've had the privilege of being on all sorts of programs around the world as the name of Jesus gets lifted up and the testimonies of God get sent out. And people say, how are you getting that sort of favor? I just smile. I think he's got a great exchange rate. Hallelujah. Have you got any ashes that you could sow? You know, I've got testimony after testimony after testimony of disappointments and sadness. I remember when I first started stepping out in the healing ministry, praying for two of my friends who had cancer and they both died. And I thought, oh God, I don't think I want to do this. I don't want to be telling people that you heal them if they don't get healed. I don't even want to go there. I'd rather just, I think it's more sensible as an evangelist if I just preach about salvation. I'm happy to move in the prophetic anointing, but God, I think I'm going to leave this healing thing alone because I don't want to risk people becoming disillusioned or disappointed. And I was very sincere. And in worship, I was grieving. And I was putting the whole healing idea in the too hard basket. And as I was doing that in worship, the Lord spoke to me in such a powerful way that I will never forget it. I had a vision and he spoke to me and he said, Catherine, you must believe. Now, since that time, we've now seen more people healed of cancer and tumors disappear than I actually can recount or recall. I can look around even at my own home church and look at the people that God has delivered from death. We've got the incredible miracle testimonies of so many amazing miracles and whole families that have come to Jesus because their loved one's been healed. They've received a miracle. And I realize, thank you, Father, your ways are better than my ways. And if you don't quit, you win. And I tell you, you could put the whole thing in the too hard basket, but that won't stop the enemy continually having his best shot to try to bring death and destruction. But I tell you, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus is the hope and the desire of the nations. Hallelujah. So I sowed it in faith, my disappointment, and today we're seeing so many miracles. I remember another stage, someone disgruntled, got angry with me, and then they even started attacking Tom. Tom is about the sweetest person on the planet, and he also serves as the honorary consul for Finland. And so this person, they wrote to every person I had, every contact I had around the world, and then they even wrote to the embassy of Finland to try to discredit Tom. It was nasty. And Tom, you know, I'm not going to defend myself. And he said, no, don't you either. I'm like, well, maybe you could defend me. And he's like, well, I could do that. He said, I could do that, or you could let God do it. I'm like, okay. And that year, the embassy just decided, we're going to give Tom a knighthood for his service to Finland. And then the people around the world that were getting these nasty letters about me started contacting me saying, I don't know who this guy is, but it's just reminded us we haven't had you come and speak for a while. And my invitations increased fourfold. I tell you, God will make all things work together for good if you will let him be God and you will intentionally bring the shame, pain, and disgrace, sow it in faith, for he is the Lord that desires to bring double for your trouble. Hallelujah. And you can get all stirred up about it and tell everybody about it and try and build a team and try and defend yourself. Or you can go, thank you, God. Just more foreign currency I can bring to the table. The more I have, the more I can sow, the more I'm going to receive. He makes it all work together for good. Oh, but God, these people rejected me. Oh, God, these people slandered me. Oh, God, this terrible thing happened. And he goes, yes, what would you like to do with that? Would you like to carry it around and make you bitter? Or would you like to carry it around and be heavy and disappointed and sad and be a victim? You could tell everybody how sad it is and they could all feel sorry for you. Or you could give it up and bring it to the table. Hallelujah. I've done a bit of both. And I can tell you, this victim thing, it's nothing. It won't satisfy like you think it will. Some people feel like if I could just tell enough people, then they'll love me. I'll get that acceptance that I feel like I've been robbed of. But God says, if instead you'll just bring it to me, I'll show you acceptance like you've never understood. I'll give you a supernatural holy confidence, a divine recompense like you've never understood. And as you choose, thank you, Lord, it's no longer me who lives, but Christ who lives in me. I'm throwing my whole lot in with you. Hallelujah. He doesn't promise that in this world we won't have trouble. But take heart, for I've overcome the world. Come and just join me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Though you may be partake of the fellowship of my sufferings, you're also invited to partake of the joy of my overcoming victory. Hallelujah. Father, we say thank you. Cast your cares. I remember one of the worst things that ever happened to me was my eldest daughter, when she was 16, got involved with a fellow that wasn't a believer and ran away from home and broke our hearts. I was broken. I cried every day for a year, then every second day for a year. The week that it happened, I went to the Lord and I said, I'm not qualified to preach the gospel. I can't take care of my own family, God. I'm not worthy, Lord. I'm giving it all up. And in his mercy, God bless him. God, we love you. 3 o'clock in the morning, I was due that weekend to be ministering with Benny Johnson and then flying to America and preaching in big church. And I said, I'm not doing any of it, God. I'd give the whole world to have my baby back. And you know, parents understand. And he took me to a scripture where Jesus had just heard the bad news about John the Baptist. And he was going to go and withdraw. But then the Lord showed him all the people. And he had compassion on the people. And he fed the 5,000. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, will you feed my people? Will you have compassion on the people? And I tell you, in the next couple of years while she was away from God, I had more young people come into our church than I could ever have imagined, calling me mama. We suddenly went into this huge young adults revival. And all these people, and though my heart was still breaking, I kept sowing it. God, I'm sowing it. Not only did he bring so many young people coming in calling us mama and papa, then today, now, hallelujah, my beautiful daughter, she's married to a wonderful man, loves us so much. She spends her days off with me. They come along to church. God has done such an amazing miracle. And I tell you, you can give up, and I could have just spent 2 years in a depressed hole, or I just intentionally in my tears, intentionally sowed my tears in faith, believing that God would bring double recompense. Well, praise the Lord, we're expecting our first grandchild at the end of December, which is really exciting. But I want to tell you, if you don't quit, you win. You have to make a decision in your heart. You got to make a decision in your heart. Am I going to give up, or am I going to hope? When you get to those points, you can either pivot to despair or pivot to hope. Despair never leaves anywhere good, never leads anywhere good. But hope in him is wonderful. Then one day while she was still away from home, I just suddenly felt this burden to pray in the early evening. And I went into my bedroom and I just began to intercede. And I didn't realize, but she was out with some friends. She'd left this guy, but she was still away from God and away from us. And she was coming out of a restaurant or something, and two of these young people who had joined our church, and another young couple, were on a prayer drive just looking for someone to pray for. And they drove past and they saw this young woman coming out of a restaurant, and they felt like the Holy Spirit said, go and pray for her. But they thought in their natural head, they thought, oh, she'd be probably a bit nervous seeing, you know, two strangers approaching her in the dark. We'll look for somebody else. So they kept driving and the Lord said, no, that's the one. Go back and pray for her. So they turned the car around and she'd gone. So they said, well, Holy Spirit, where did she go? And she'd jumped into her friend's car and they'd gone round the block and parked so she could put some more makeup on and go somewhere else. And the Holy Spirit gave them directions to where they were. This is in the center of the city in Brisbane. There's a lot of people. And so they get out of the car and they approach the car and they said, don't freak out, we're Christians. And they just began to prophesy over this girl and her friend. Well, it was my daughter at the very moment that I was interceding at home. And then my daughter just starts telling a friend, I know about this stuff. This is great. And then she turns to the people and she says, who are you? What church do you go to? And they said, oh, Glory City Church. She says, my mum's the pastor there. And then while I'm interceding in my bedroom, I get a phone call from Jessica. She says, mum, guess what just happened? And it was the beginning of the turnaround and her coming back to church. And these very ones that had come in as the beginning of the recompense were used by God to bring back my little one to Jesus. I tell you, there is hope. Hallelujah. When you put your hope in him, he is faithful. It doesn't matter how long it goes. God says, he who began a good work will carry it through to completion. I believe in miracles because I believe in God. And you know, as you discover him, you'll discover that he's the most wonderful, glorious Father, the kindest Father, the most wonderful friend that you could ever have. He's the one that I don't have to explain myself to because he already knows. If I can catch up for coffee with a friend and I've still got to tell them what's going on, but when I get before the Lord and I start to talk with him, he knows everything. And I can open my heart and he knows exactly where I am. And he loves me and he looks at me and surprises me consistently. I used to think that when I'd talk to God, he'd be cranky with me or he'd have something to say to sort me out. I remember when I got a job in the early days with a Christian school. They said, go away on orientation. They said, go away for 15 minutes and write down what the Lord says to you. And I took my piece of paper and a pen and I went, right, okay, God, you can tell me anything. I'm open-hearted. Whatever you like, come on, sort me out. Talk to me. And he says, I love you. I'm like, yeah, I know. Everyone knows. Like, but seriously, like, tell me that I'm proud. Tell me what I need to fix. Talk to me, God. I love you. Yeah, I know. Yeah, everybody knows. Jesus loves me. This I know. Everybody knows this. God, please just talk to me. Please talk to me, God. What do you want to say? And for 15 minutes, he said three words. I didn't realize they were the words that I needed to hear more than anything else. You see, we get the idea that God's somehow like us. But God is so much better. It doesn't mean that he winks at sin, but I tell you, he knows that he's already dealt with it. And he knows that if he can grab your heart with his love, anything that you're holding on to that's sinful, that is unrighteous, is going to become distasteful to you. That the goodness and kindness of God leads us to repentance. Now, even today, as I come to spend time with him or I come to worship him and my heart is feeling heavy, I'll think, oh, I haven't prayed very much or I haven't done very well this week. I come in worship, I go, here I am to worship, feeling like a hypocrite. Oh God, here, oh, bless you. He's there going, 1 John 3, even if your heart condemns you, I'm greater than your heart. He says, I'm the glory and the lifter of your head. Come here. Oh, you're beautiful. I love you. And he's taught me the greatest lesson I think I've ever learned with the Lord is that he's always happy to see me. That he's always looking at me with shining eyes that love me more than I deserve. That he is better than I feel like I deserve all the time. That he is my friend. That he is my safe place. Sometimes people get cranky about that. They say, oh, you're painting God like some sort of Santa Claus up in the sky. No, that's not what I'm saying. He's a holy God, but he's smarter than us. We think it would be better if he could come and point out our sin and point out our shortcomings and tell us. We feel better about that because we feel like somehow we can then be, you know, deserve it, and maybe we can somehow pay for it with our shame. But he comes in the opposite way, and he comes and he says, I love you, I forgive you, you're kind, you're holy, you're righteous. And you go, no, I'm not, God, I've been selfish and horrible. And he goes, bring it to me, give me that. Here, I want to give you my nature. I want you to remember that even as you give your life to me, I give my life to you. And it's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. And this is what you now look like. You have a new identity in me. You are righteous. You are clean. You are holy. You are lovely. It takes faith to believe that. It takes great faith. That's why the Bible says the just shall live by faith, not by their feelings, not by their performance, but by faith that causes you to hit the ground in humility and say, God, wow, you are so much better than I deserve. You are so much more wonderful than I have ever imagined. No eye has seen, no ear has heard how great the wonderful things that you've laid up for us. You know, this promise of double recompense isn't for the good. It isn't for the ones that have performed and done their best. It's for those who'd humble themselves and believe that God is true and that he is better than we feel like we deserve. Today, if you're here and you know in your heart that you haven't got relationship with God, I'd love to pray with you. You know, a lot of people believe in God. They believe in the existence of God, but so does the devil. It's not about believing in God's existence. It's actually about humbling yourself in faith to say, Lord, I need mercy. I need your grace. Come into my life. I want to give you my sin. I want to repent and give you my shame. Have mercy on me. And receiving by faith from the divine exchange table the righteousness of God, the forgiveness, his eternal life, his forgiveness that wipes your sin and your shame away and says, I'll never remember it again. If you're here and you know in your heart, you need to bring that to the exchange table. You need to receive Jesus Christ as Redeemer and Savior. I'd love to pray for you today. If you're here and you know you're not walking with God and you want to make your life right with God today, would you just raise your hand? I'd love to pray for you before we pray for anybody else today. Is anyone here that says yes? Today I want to acknowledge I need Jesus as Savior. This will be your way of saying today's the day I cross over, I step over the line. God bless you. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Anybody else here today that says, yeah, that's me. Today I want to receive Jesus. God bless you. Anybody else that says, yeah, today I'm making that choice. Anybody else today that says, yeah, that's me. I'm not going to make you come out the front, but this is your opportunity to say, God, I'm humbling myself before you, and today I'm going to put my life right with you. I receive Jesus as the one who takes my sin. Anybody else that says, yeah, that's me. Today I want to get my life right with God. Anybody else today? Father, thank you. Well, thank you, Father, for each one, Lord, that's responded. And Lord, I'm asking right now as they bring you their sin, as they bring you their shame, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you reveal yourself to them. You reveal your smiling eyes, your face that looks at them and says, I love you, I forgive you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I speak the blessing of God over them. Would you pray this after me? Father God, I believe you sent your son Jesus to be punished in my place. Right now, Lord, I ask that you have mercy on me. Forgive me for all of my sin. Deliver me. Fill me with your spirit. I receive your gift of mercy, your gift of eternal life. I declare Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for these ones. And Lord, I'm asking Holy Spirit right now, Lord, we invite your presence. Father, I ask Holy Spirit in touch. Lord, I ask that for your mercy, Lord, to come in such a profound way. Lord, that you'd deliver people from shame and fear. Lord, I'm asking that you'd help them identify where they have ashes that they've been carrying around in their hearts, where they have foreign currency that they can exchange. And Lord, I ask that you'd help them in faith to bring it to the divine exchange table. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm really serious about this. Sometimes I forget, I carry around foreign currency. I complain about it, I talk about it. And I forget that all of that, the more I just hold it, the more it weighs me down. But when I remember, we've got a team around us, I preach this all the time, and we encourage each other. Have you sown those tears? Have you sown that? Or are you holding on to it? Okay, all right, yes, you're right. I haven't sown that. I'm still holding on to it. I'm trying to suck out a bit more victimhood from it. But no, God, I'm going to give it. I'm going to sow it in faith. And then I'm going to, every time the enemy comes to remind me, you know, sometimes I get into the speech writing mentality at nighttime where I write the speech about what I'd like to say to these people. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Anybody? Hey, let's just write that speech again. And you've written it 1,000 times before. It just robs you of sleep and brings you into anger and fear and frustration and disappointment. And oh, God, it's so unjust. It's a ploy of the enemy. And every time that speech-writing demon comes and tries to get you to do it again, you can say, No, Father, I thank you. I've taken that and I'm bringing that to the divine exchange table. So I'm going to take that thought captive and I'm going to replace it now. What's double for that going to look like? I'm glad I remembered that because I'm going to think about what that double recompense is going to look like. Oh, wow, that was a significant betrayal. So I wonder, Lord, what's double going to look like? And then I start to walk around it in my sanctified imagination, thinking about what's that going to... Oh, wow, God. Oh, we lost those people. Oh, well, what's it going to... I could think about how terrible it was. Not going there, devil. Wow, I wonder what sort of people you're going to bring now, Lord. Oh, that's going to be wonderful. Oh, we lost that money. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, no, stop. Not going there, devil. Father, I thank you that we've brought that to the divine exchange table. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the blessing of God that's coming. Yay, God. And that's what we are called to do. It's the walk of faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I believe that the Lord wants us to do that in every area, including healing. Hallelujah. You can think about the enemy would love to entertain your mind with all sorts of, well, what's it going to look like when this gets worse? You know that voice? Oh, well, we're going to have to think about how terrible this is going to be. When you hear that voice, God says, hey, remember, you're bringing that situation to the divine exchange table. Now, sing, O barren, you who've not born. That is, get happy about what you haven't yet seen because I am faithful. When the enemy wants to grab a hold of your emotions and say, let's think about how sad, bad, and terrible it is, you can go, that's not the kingdom. Not going there, devil. Sing, O barren. Okay, well, I haven't seen this breakthrough yet, so I'm going to start singing about it and letting myself get happy as though I already have it. Ooh, what does that feel like? Oh, that feels fantastic. What's it going to feel like when I can do something I couldn't do before? What's it going to feel like to get up without pain? What's it going to feel like to have those children? What's it going to feel like? Hallelujah. I think I'm more excited about this than you are. Father, thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your grace. I believe there's someone over here that the Lord's just touching your ankle right now. You've had a problem with your ankle. I don't know exactly what it is. Is there someone over here in front of my hand that you've got just some problem with your ankle over here? Where are you? Just let me see you. Yeah. Thank you, Father, for your hand on that right now. Just begin to move your ankle around. Father, I thank you, Lord, for healing that. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for complete healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Is there someone else as well over here with their ankle as well? You just need God. Yeah, good. Just move it around there now. Ha, ha, ha. Healthy, happy, healed in the name of Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. And there's also still someone here in front of my hand. You need God to bring complete release in your shoulder there. Who's that person right here? Yes, good. Just move that around there now and go, thank you, Father. Healed and free in Jesus' name. Yay, God. Hallelujah. Happy, healthy. Yeah. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. All the way. Holy Spirit, come. Father, now. Freedom and deliverance now for that shoulder in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Papa. Thank you, Lord. Come on out here, honey. I'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Yay. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Can I just have someone come stand behind her? That'd be wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Father, you're so good. Lift up your eyes to heaven. Hooray. That's wonderful. Yay, Jesus. Hooray. Thanks, God. So someone else here, you actually have a problem with your womb. I don't know what that is, but the doctors have told you there's some issues or problems going on. Yeah, good. Come here, honey. It's a good day for you. What do you think's going to happen? Yes, I do too. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Oh, look at this precious one. Oh, Father. We're so great. Holy Spirit, give me power now. Touching and healing her. In Jesus' name. Hip, hip, hooray. Thanks, God. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. I just see your hand right now moving all down through the whole pelvic region too. Healed in the name of Jesus. Healing, healing, healing now. Yay, I see the fire of God just touching you right now. Healing, thank you for that miracle power now in Jesus' name. God, we give you glory. Hooray, hooray, hooray. Hooray, 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 hooray. Thanks, Lord. Thanks, Lord. Thanks, Lord. Oh, yay. God's doing something special there. I believe there's someone here. You've got an issue with your throat that goes down into your esophagus. It's, I don't know what that is. I believe it's a man. Who is that? Oh, good. Good news for you. Yeah, come on up here. Papa. Thanks, Lord. Yeah, Daddy. Come on up here. Father, thank you for your hand on this one. Who you love. Daddy God. Oh. You're the healer. Come on, why don't you all agree with me right now? Father, I thank you for your touch. I know God's doing something very special, Lord. I thank you for your Holy Spirit power now in the name of Jesus, touching and delivering in Jesus' mighty name. Healing power. Yes, God. Freedom, affirmate, infirmity, go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Hip, hip, hooray. Ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Healing now in the name of Jesus. Someone else, it might even be him or someone over here. You have a problem in your ear that you need God, this one ear. You really need the healing of God touching you. Just right over here. Who's that? Is there someone here? You need God to touch and heal your ear? You can come, hon. When he's done, I'll find out if it's him too. Papa, Yesu, Abba. Ah. What's wrong with your ear, honey? Okay. Okay. Well, Father, thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, hooray. Thanks, God. Ha ha. Hey. Wow, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Touching, healing, restoring. You're so faithful, Father. You're so faithful. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come. Emily, do you want to come and help me? Papa, papa. Meshule basuka, papa. Father, we bless you. We bless you. Someone else here, you've got a problem, I believe, with your lungs. Oh, wow. We've seen God do extraordinary miracles. We have one, our pastor in Atlanta actually. He had the opportunity to pray for somebody who had lupus and cancer, and they'd surgically removed one lung from this lady. And the Lord said, will you partner with me for a creative miracle, when she asked for prayer because her one lung was failing. He prayed for her, and then a few weeks later, a little while later, she was feeling really strange. And so they did some tests and they said, this is strange. You've got higher oxygen levels than should be for someone with one failing lung. So they did a scan and they didn't know what to do, because the surgeon had done a 12-hour operation to remove this lung. So they said, you have a breathable mass where you used to have the lung. And they said, we're going to have to call your specialist. So they flew this specialist out from Texas to Savannah to look at the scan. It's insurance purposes, is a bit of a problem when you've removed a lung and then there's a breathable mass. And the specialist looked at it and he went, don't be ridiculous. We're just going to have to call it what it is. This is a brand new lung. God had restored. I tell you, this isn't just happening in Africa and India. Because he's the God of the impossible. Is there someone here in the top? I feel like it's in the top part of your lungs. You've been having problems. There's been some issues in your upper chest. You've been having issues. I'm not sure who that is, but I'm just seeing in the upper part of your chest. Who is that person? I'd like to pray for you. Is there someone here? You need God to touch and heal. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you too. Well, I will pray for you. Go ahead, Em.
I actually wanted to pray. Oh, sorry. Just for you, actually. What was your name? Ben. I just felt the joy of the Lord all over you. And I just feel Him just increasing that joy in you in this next season. And so the joy of the Lord is like healing. And I just feel like out of this place of joy is going to also come healing, not only just for yourself, but for people around you. As you demonstrate the joy of the Lord in your life, it's going to supernaturally touch people around you and yourself and the people in your family as well. Like, even without you knowing about it or praying specifically, I feel like even without praying specifically over people to receive the healing of the Lord will just do it. Just because you've showed up, just because you've seen the opportunity and you've said, okay, I'll go for it. And I also saw, like, you're a wonderful worship leader, and you've led us in worship so wonderfully tonight, and you're able to lead people in the presence of the Lord in this space and to connect with Him in worship in such a beautiful way. But I also feel like there's another little light inside of you that's starting to flicker into being. And I feel like you can wear this if you want, but I feel like there is a grace upon you to actually teach as well. That there's this grace to be able to understand what the word of the Lord says. It's like a lamp on the words of the Bible. And I feel like in the rest, when you rest in the Lord, it's the most productive thing you can do. And I feel like maybe you've been in like a season where there has been a lot of work to do. And you've done the work, you've been diligent, and you've worked really hard. And the Lord sees that and He commends you for it. But I feel now is a time of rest. And just like He blessed the seventh day when He rested after His work was done, He's going to bless that time of rest with you as well. And when you come into the Word and you're resting in Him, it's like the words of the pages just light up in ways that you've never seen before. And you'll be able to see revelation in the Word of God like you've never seen before. And from that comes this understanding and this wisdom and this grace to teach those around you and to build them up and to bring them into a place of maturity and into a place of wisdom in so, so many areas. Bless you.
Amen. I feel like there's a lady, I think you're up the back somewhere, and you need God to touch and heal your thyroid. Who is that person? Yes, good, sweetheart. Come. Abba. Hallelujah.
I actually wanted to pray for you, just in the white top. Do you want to come on up? What's your name?
Chelsea.
Chelsea, why don't you come over here? Everyone can see you then. I looked over to you and I just saw, it's like you were holding this big bunch, this big bouquet of flowers. There are all different kinds. There were sunflowers, there was roses, there was like bluebells, there was all these different kinds of flowers, and you're holding them so proudly because you knew who gave them to you, and it was the Lord. And I almost felt like as you were carrying these things around, everyone was saying like, "Oh, those are nice flowers." And you're like, "Yes, I particularly like this one and I like this one." And you were naming them all individually and you're saying each of them had like something special about them, something unique and special. But I felt like as you were explaining these things, sometimes people were like, "Oh, that's nice, but they're all just flowers. They're all flowers. There's nothing individual about them. They're all just flowers," and kind of clump them all into one category. And I felt the Lord has given you all of these gifts, these so-called flowers, and these very unique things inside of you. And I'm not sure, but I feel like maybe some people have tried to group them all together and say like, "Oh no, it's just one small thing that you have there." But I feel like the Lord is bringing greater clarity to those things inside of you, those things that He's put inside of you, and is really bringing out the uniqueness and the special nature of each of these little things and distinguishing them in such a beautiful way. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your beautiful daughter. Thank you for your beautiful daughter, Chelsea. You just bless every aspect of her life. Thank you for these gifts, these talents, these special things that you've put inside of her. And I thank you that you make them known, that you're making them known right now in Jesus' name, that they would be used to bless others in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hooray. Yay. I heard that there was a lady here. Is that correct? That needs... Huh? I did it already. Who's the lady? Where's Carla? I've already prayed for you. Well, that's exciting. I felt like that. I saw the Lord actually, I saw fire all through this region. Wow, I'm excited. I was going to pray for you. We already did. That's so exciting. Father, I thank you. Oh, Father, I'm so grateful, Lord, for the complete and full restoration, Lord, that she'd be able to eat freely, that she'd be, wow, that she'd be able to jog and run and celebrate your goodness, Lord. I thank you. Wow. Be a hand on this precious one who loves you. Yes, yes, yeah. Hooray. Did you feel like that? Yeah, I felt God was doing something very special. I saw that fire. Yay. All right. I would really like to hear the follow-up testimony about this one. That's a cool one. I'm excited. Oh, well, goody. This is great. God bless you. I love you. I think I have to go. Praise the Lord. But the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. If you need prayer in your body for healing, can we just do this now? I've seen hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people healed this way. And this is how I got healed when I was just 14 years old. I'd had a trampolining accident. I was in my very first state titles, warming up, and I came around and overbalanced, put my arm out, and both of the bones snapped in my forearm, pierced the skin, blood everywhere. It was terrible. And they had to do multiple operations, pins, and I'd severed a nerve to my thumb, so I couldn't just voluntarily move my thumb like that. And I was at Garden City Christian Church, and a man called Ralph Wilkerson came. I didn't know who he was. He was just an American, but I'd done a letterbox drop for people to come to the meeting. And in the meeting, at the end of the meeting, he just said, "Put your hand on the part of your body that needs healing." So I put my hand on my thumb, was still in a cast, And then he said, he just prayed a simple prayer. And then he said, do something you couldn't do before. And I just began to move my thumb. And the specialist said, that's a miracle. Those nerves have been severed. So we sold the trampoline and bought a piano and I became a music teacher. Hallelujah. And since that time, I've done this around the world and people have experienced the power of God. And I love the way he heals this way because no one can get the glory but Jesus alone. Hallelujah. So if you need healing in your body, I want you to put your hand on the part of your body that needs healing. If you can't do that or it's not appropriate, you can put your hand just here on your belly. And I want you to lift your eyes to heaven. And Father, I ask that you'd show them your smiling face. Lord, that you'd release to them the truth that you are for them and not against them, that it is your will that they be healed. In the Bible, people had come to Jesus and say, if it's your will, you can make me whole. And every time he said, I am willing. There was, in fact, nobody who came to him asking for healing that Jesus didn't heal. So we know it is the will of God. Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday and today and forever, has not changed his mind. It's God's desire and his will to heal you now. So Father, as we lift our eyes to you in the name of Jesus, I thank you for healing breakthrough in the room now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power and for the gift of faith, miracles and healings released in this room now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you too for an impartation of the gift of faith for miracles, signs and wonders in this house. Lord, that people would come from roundabout knowing there's miracles happen here and they would come and receive from Jesus Christ and discover him as Savior and Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for healing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We give you thanks. We give you glory. Now, I want you to do something you couldn't do before. Some of you would have to go back and check it out with your doctors, but you can stand up, you can move, you can do whatever. Don't be polite. I know you're very polite in Tasmania, but yeah, you can do something you couldn't do before. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for healing. And please tell me what's happened. I go back to some places years afterwards and they'll just randomly come up to me and say, oh, I got healed of liver cancer when you were here 4 years ago. I'll be like, that's great. And think to myself, I wish you'd told me earlier. I could have encouraged so many people with that testimony. So please, if you can let your pastors know, they'll be very kind and tell me so I can celebrate with you. God bless you. Thank you very much for having me. I do want to encourage you. In January up in Devonport, we're going to be seeing a glorious time. I don't know how it's happened, but you've got three amazing people coming. Jean-Luc Trachsel, David Wagner, who's about my favorite prophet on the planet, Jean-Luc, who's the most amazing revivalist that I do incredible things with in Europe, who speaks in stadiums all over the world, sees miracles like I've never seen before. And Will Hart and myself are coming believing that God is about to do something extraordinary in Tasmania across the body of Christ. So I hope you can come and join us. God bless you. We love you.